Happy Mother's Day to all you ladies. If I did not say that right off the bat, we'd be in trouble. I definitely don't feel like I'm the one that should be up here, but that's was pastor's call, so we're here. And being Mother's Day, I brought a lot of handkerchiefs for myself. For anybody else. Zane, is this fresh? All right, well, I'll use this one then. So.
I believe it is fresh.
It is fresh.
Yeah, I didn't drink out of it.
Okay. All right, well, I'll leave it right there then.
Thank you.
So, we're going to start in Genesis 2, if everybody wants to start there. I got a few announcements right off the bat. Fathers, husbands, if you haven't got Father's Day card or Mother's Day cards yet, we have some cards over here for sale.
Yeah.
They're normally $4. We have a sale going on, 2 for $12 today.
Yeah.
Supply and demand, you need them, we got them. Genesis 2, we're going to start out in verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." And out of the ground of the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, to all the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was found no helpmeet for him. And the Lord God, and this is, gentlemen, I should say ladies, this is gentlemen's verse for excuse on why we take naps. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. So when your husband goes in and he's got things to do and he lays down on the couch, it's in the Bible. You can't argue the Bible. I'm just saying. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, and because she was taken out of man." Let's open with a word of prayer. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. We thank you for the opportunity to hear, to read out of your word. Thank you that we can do this freely and openly. And we just pray that you bless the ladies and their Mother's Day. And we just pray that you'd help us men to be a blessing, not a hindrance, Lord. We just thank you for your love. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for your mercies. Just give us what you want us to learn and what you want us to know. In Jesus' name, amen. My parents are here, and I'd have them stand up so you all know who they are. We don't have that much time. So they're getting a little old. Love you, Mom. So anyways, I love it when my mom and dad come when I do a message because they take me to McDonald's afterwards for ice cream. So it is a win-win. I ask the pastor every once in a while, let me have a message just so I can get some ice cream. But in verse 23, it kind of stuck out to me that woman and man was capitalized there. And I don't want to mess with doctrine. I don't want to say anything that I shouldn't say. So on your own, you can look up Ephesians 5, 28 and 30 and just look at it to see if maybe it's capitalized there because we're part of God, or it could be the fact that we're just a people group like the Amorites, the Levites. It could be that way too, but it just kind of struck me, so I figured I'd just throw that out there. Lack of time, I don't want to go in and look it up that verse, but I just heard a story that I wanted to relay to you guys, and it's a sad story. I heard of a girl that's 14, 15 years old, found out she's pregnant. So she has three choices, and we learned this from Miss Jennifer's organization. Obviously, abortion is the one that everybody wants to go to or point to. That's not an option. The other one is you carry the child to term and you give it up for adoption, or you keep the child. You carry it to term and keep the child. And as I was looking at this, it popped into my head. The question popped in my head. How many, we look at our world is crumbling around us. We definitely not the country it used to be. So much turmoil, so much everything going on. Everybody seems to be looking for a leader. And it's back in Jesus' time, everybody was looking for Messiah. He was right there. And they overlooked him. But I got thinking about how many leaders have been aborted today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good.
are we in the situation we are? We could have a doctor that could cure cancer. We could have a scientist that would have taken care of most problems. We could have a president that truly loved the Lord and headed us in the right direction. Hopefully we got a better president right now, but how many, as a country, God gave a woman to carry, could have been the cure for cancer. But selfishness of people today aborted that child.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You understand why God has every right to turn his back on us. It's very humbling that he still loves us. But I want to hit on this real briefly, and I don't want to point fingers because I don't know anybody's past, but if you have aborted a baby, or if you're a man that has talked a girl into aborting a baby, it is not the end of the world. First, humble yourself. Humble yourself to God. Repent. Seek counseling, which a pastor is what I would suggest as a pastor. But God can still use you, no matter what you've done in your life. Obviously, Mother's Day, if this has happened, you're going to feel pretty sad today, but there's hope that lies within it. You can deal with it with God and get past it and get through it. And again, I don't know everybody's past. I'm not pointing at anybody. I'm just putting that out there. Go to John 4 with me, and everybody probably will know this story. Again, I'm not a big theological speaker, so we're not going to break any ground. We're not going to fix anything major, but we're going to go to John 4. We'll start in verse 7. This is Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. And where I want to go is going to come out of here, so just hang with me. We'll read this verse, starting in verse 7, chapter 4, verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Verse 9, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest to drink water of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. So at this point in time, they're thinking two different things. She's thinking water out of the well. He's thinking living water. And we know what God is thinking. But verse 11, the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of the water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Verse 13, again, Jesus is relaying that you're talking about the water comes out of the ground. I'm talking a whole other thing, and he's trying to give her the thing. The last part of 14 is what I want to get to, the well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, when Pastor told me I was doing this, and that was a complete shock. But when I got over that, I got thinking about, Pastor Hain did a micro sermon, as he does sometimes when he gets up here to close. And he was doing channels only. And so when Pastor asked what told me about this, it got me thinking of channels and how a woman is used as a channel for God's love.
Amen.
That's good.
His everlasting love, his everlasting water, he pours through a woman, and he uses them as a channel. And I'll hit in this a little bit later, but men can be used as a channel also. I'm not excluding men. Mike has Father's Day, he can deal with that. This is Mother's Day, so we're dealing with women doing it. But God uses a woman better than a man, in my opinion, because
yep.
I think of Peter, and he was the rock the church was going to be built on. And if you pour water onto a rock, it just splashes everywhere. And I'm comparing myself with Peter, a man with Peter. The water hits us, we just kind of destroy it. It just goes everywhere. Where a woman, he can channel it into a woman, and a woman can bless her kids, whoever she's dealing with. She lets it flow out instead of just dumping out. So I got thinking about, obviously, a woman, but Just raise your hand if anybody's seen a puddle before that's been stepped in and it's muddy. Anybody seen a puddle? Okay. Has anybody been outside and there's a brook, and I know we tell our kids not to do this, but you step in that brook and mud comes up. Anybody seen that? Does that mud stay right there when you step in a brook, or does it go downstream? It goes downstream. How many have used a garden hose before? Okay. What happens when you get that garden hose out there and you hit it and no water comes out? What's wrong with it? There's a kink in the line. When you straighten that kink out and you hit it and there's still no water, what's wrong?
Water's off.
You got the water off. This is what I think of the puddle, and it doesn't clear up because there's no fresh water coming into it. You make it muddy once, it just sits there for a while. It takes a long time for it to settle down because there's not flowing water coming through it. When you're out there in that brook and you step in it, the mud goes downhill because you got fresh water coming into it. If you want to keep staring at the fresh water, you keep walking forward. You don't turn around and go back into the dirt. I look at that as how we can be used by God, is that garden hose. Are we hooked to the water supply of the living water? Is there a kink in our line? Is there no supply at all? Have you even turned the water on? A lot of Christians sit by that puddle. It's got dirty. We're just happy to sit there and wait for it to calm back down. Whatever's in your life, you just don't want to get rid of it. You don't want to let it deal with it and let it clear up. You're happy sitting there letting it just settle down. And it doesn't take much, and it can be, she called me a name. It can be, I didn't like the flower I got. It can be people let things fester, and they just sit by that puddle.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take much for Satan to just stir that water up a little bit. If you're standing in that creek, you make that step, and that mud starts up. You have a choice to walk down the stream in the mud or turn and walk up the stream. Go back towards the supply of water. Again, the living water of Jesus Christ. Obviously, I'm comparing a garden hose and I'm comparing a stream, but we can compare it to our life. Are we hooked up to the hose? Is there kinks in the line that are keeping us disconnected from Christ's love? Are we letting him be? Are we allowing him to use us as a channel? And again, I'm using women because this is Mother's Day. Men, this can apply to you too. But I just want to introduce that idea of being used as a channel. Let God pour his love through you. Let him bless those around you versus sitting by that puddle and just sitting in it, just watching the puddle. Let God fill you with that living water. Let him continue to use you with your kids, with your neighbors, with your mate. Just let him continue to keep that hose going, letting that water go. And I was thinking about the hose. I also thought about, we have a nozzle on the end of the hose, and nowadays we usually have 5 settings on them. And are we letting it use it as just a sprinkler? Are we letting it use it as straight power or sporadic? God wants to use us. He's supplying us with the water. It's the Word of God. It's his Son. Are we connecting to it? Are we spending time in the Word? Are we spending time praying? Are we being connected to the living water? That's part of the challenge, is make sure we are. And I told you about a 14-year-old girl. Most of you probably figured out. That's Mary. She was, again, back then she might not have had the choice of abortion, but she chose to do what God asked her to do. And it wasn't that God just looked down and said, Jesus is going to come through her. There was a reason he picked Mary, because she knew her Old Testament. She knew there was a Messiah who was going to come. She knew her Savior was coming. So when the angel told her about it, yeah, it took her by surprise, but it wasn't out of the realm. It was something she knew, okay? God chose her to use as a channel. Back to the water supply, he used Mary to channel his love to the world through Mary. Again, ladies, you have that same opportunity. God can use you to channel through, okay? So I want to go to John 19 real quick, as long as we're right there. John 19, 26 and 27. And this is, Jesus is on the cross. And the thing that I noticed about this, as I kind of was thinking about it, I read the Hall of Faith, and Mary's not listed in the Hall of Faith. And that was a shocker to me. This girl did more by faith than anybody's ever going to do, and she wasn't in the Hall of Faith. And then I was reading this section, and we'll start with 26. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and his disciples standing by, whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to his disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her unto his own home. The point I wanted to get out of those is, she got her reward, because Jesus didn't say a whole lot on the cross. He talked to the criminal. He said a couple different things, but he took the time to point out his mother. And to put it in today's terms, it was, you did good. You had a lot of pressure on you, a lot of outside pressure. You still followed through. You're still faithful. And he called himself her son. It wasn't that you were just the vessel. You were the mother. And he goes far enough in verse 27 to say, Behold thy mother, to his disciple, take care of my mother. It wasn't just you were a woman that had to be used. You were the woman that was my mother. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think that we should put a poster up here of Mary and bring flowers and dedicate it to him. But, like I said, I didn't understand why she wouldn't be in the Hall of Faith, but Jesus took the time to point her out specifically. There was other women there at the cross, but he took time to make sure his mother was taken care of,
good.
And that she knew that she had done a good job.
Good.
Now, verse 28, I didn't read, but I just want to hit on this. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. And so, as I was putting this together, in living water and fountains and different things, and that struck me funny. And the point I got out of it was he thirsting because his water supply was being shut off? He had to be separated from God. And he was starting to thirst. This is just my opinion. My opinion was he was feeling that water supply leaving him. He was thirsting for the love God had for him, his own son. If even Jesus needed that water, how much more do we need that, the living waters? We can't be separated from him. A lot of women will say, Mike hit on it, we're not doing a good job of discipling younger people. The Bible tells us older people are supposed to, the young people are learning from the older people. If that's not happening, ladies, and you don't know what to do, my third point would be look in the Bible. We have all kinds of ladies in the Bible that were faithful. They did what God wanted them to do. I think of Grandma Lois and Mother Eunice. If it wasn't for them, Timothy wouldn't be the person he was. You had Naomi. You had Ruth. That Ruth was willing to listen to her mother-in-law. You had Esther that saved a country. You had Anna, Sarah, Rahab. And the last two, Sarah and Rahab, are the two that were in the Hall of Faith by name. And that, again, that was just struck out to me. One was a harlot, and one was honored God her whole life. It shows that it doesn't matter if you honor God your whole life or you've lived a hard life your whole life, God will still love you. God can still use you. He can still pour his living water through you. You've got to be open to it. You've got to be the channel. Fourth thing, I want to go to Ephesians, where in the New Testament, Ephesians 6, and everybody's going to say, I'm so tired of this passage because it's all about children obeying your parents. I pointed this out one other time. We are a child of God. We're his child till eternity and beyond. So this applies to any age group, not just children. Ephesians 6, we're just going to do 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou may live long on the earth. I had a friend ask me, how do you honor your father and your mother if they didn't do a good job? And I gave him the basic Ephesians 6. And I said, it's in the Bible, I have to do it. But that kept kind of bothering me that I wasn't happy with that answer. And as I was putting this together, and obviously it's Mother's Day, so we got to talk about honoring your mother. I looked at this passage a little bit closer. And at verse 2, the second part of that is, which is the first commandment. It's not an option. It's a commandment. And that kind of struck me also as I read it. It's a commandment. And that's easier to say than it is to do. It's by command by God. You don't understand my past. No, I don't understand everybody's past. I didn't have any issues. I had good parents, so I can't say anything. But if you had bad parents, as much as you don't want to honor your father or your mother, it's a commandment.
Yes.
Now, Pastor Hayden and Mike both hit on it. You're trying to draw closer to God. Is there something that's separating you from God? Well, then draw closer to God. So the thing I'm going to put out there is, if there's something separating you from God, could it be that you're not following the commandment of honoring your father and your mother? Is there something that you're not doing that you should be doing? Now, that doesn't mean if you had horrible parents, I'm not saying you go give them a dozen roses. I don't say that you go give them a hug. I'm not saying that. But to honor them can be sending them a card. It can be sending them a text message. It can be calling them and saying, Happy Mother's Day. It can be simple as praying for them. It doesn't say specifically what you're supposed to do to honor them, but it is a commandment. You have to, if you want to have the right relationship with God, you have to follow the commandment. And if it's as simple as praying for that one that was not a good parent to you, the one you're struggling with, start there. Start praying for them. Let God show you. If that loved one doesn't know Christ, you're the only Christ that they're going to see. And if you are stubborn and bullheaded to them, they're not going to learn anything. They're going to say, yeah, you're supposed to be a Christian. You're doing the same thing I am. Again, doesn't mean you got to go fall at their feet and kiss their feet and ask them to love you, but you can pray for them. You can act different than the world acts. You can use little steps to try to help get through this time and help honor your father and your mother. As I was also looking at that, I went to Proverbs, and this will be the last time we turn. Go to Proverbs 30. To back up that passage just a little bit, I saw Proverbs 30, verses 11 and 12, and it kind of just struck me that they kind of go together, so we're going to touch on Proverbs 30, verse 11 and 12. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. That kind of goes along with honor thy father and mother, doesn't it? There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet are not washed from their filthiness. Believe me, I'm not trying to judge you. If you have not had a good relationship with your parents, there was a time that I could not, as much as this is going to hurt, but I did not like my mother because she loved me, because she wanted me in church.
Give him strength, Lord.
Because she prayed for me. Because she loved me. She asked me the questions, where were you last night? She stood behind me and read a devotional book with me, or to me. Because she knew I wasn't loving the Lord. She knew I didn't want anything to do with God. But yet, she was willing to stand there behind me and do the hard things. Now, I love my mother today.
Glory to God.
And I praise her for what she did. I joke today, that's why they gave me cheap rent, because I would stay there so they could keep preaching to me. But I'm fine with that today. Praise God, I'm fine with that. But those two verses, if there is something where you're not connecting with God, may it be that you're not following the commands that God laid in front of you. Are you As verse 11 said, is there a generation that curses their father and doth not bless their mother? Again, I don't know what you came through. I don't know if you had a struggle with your parent, what it was. It could have been horrible. At least you can pray for them. Pray for their salvation. Pray that God can get a hold of their lives. Number five, this is for men. Don't hinder your wife or your children from being channels. If you see that your wife is being used, excuse me, and you are jealous, you can put a kink in that line.
That's right.
You can start shutting that water supply off.
Yeah.
Because you're jealous. Men, can I ask you, can you get competitive with your wife? There's times that I come down and my wife's Bible will be laying there and what she's been doing devotions about. And it hits me, I forgot to read my Bible today. Get competitive, men. Have your Bible laying out.
Yes, sir.
Have your notes laying out where you've been meeting with God. It's not only the wife's job to teach our kids, it's ours.
Yes, sir.
Again, I talked about why I think women were used as channels more than men because of Peter. The water comes down and hits the rocks, splatters everywhere. If you take that hose and you take the nozzle off and you put a pitcher there, it's going to catch that water and you're going to be able to reuse that water. It's not just squaring out all over the place. And that's the difference I see with women. Women, they bottle that water up, that living water, and they dole it out where it needs to be used. A man, most times, is just going to give it all one shot. Let's get this done. I got something else to do. A mother will just take it and just keep feeding her kids what they need, what they
good,
what's going to keep them going. You can use that water again. Again, we're going to touch on Proverbs 31 because we couldn't do a Mother's Day message without touching on it. Or ladies. But I only want to hit one verse, and this is in closing. Proverbs 31:30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. How can I put that in more than some women like to paint the barn? They like to look dressed up, and I'm not saying there's anything against it, but they put four layers of paint on before they can walk out. If that's what you do, that's fine. But don't let that be what you're about.
That's right.
Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, and feareth the Lord means wants to raise her kids for God, is teaching to them, is reading her word, is praying, that's a woman that fears the Lord. The last part of that says she will be praised. Women, you do not come close, at least my wife, does not come close to getting the praise that she deserves. She does everything behind the scenes. She does it without half of it with me even knowing. But yet she knows when it's time to come to me, when it's not time to come to me for different things. I even gave my secretary the day off. That's why it's all handwritten notes and I'm having a hard time reading them. She does it all, and I don't give her enough praise. So men, step up.
Yes, sir.
When we see something that our woman has done for us, our wife has done for us, give her the praise. Even better, help her out. Step up and start doing some things that we should be doing. I joked about in Genesis, our verses, that's our escape route, that we can take a nap. There's times that we need to put the nap off to the side because our wife needs a nap.
Right.
Again, verse 30, if God can use you as a channel, you will get your praise and glory. If you're willing to be that vessel, if you're allowing God to channel his love through you, you might not get the praise and glory here, but you will get it one day. Now, we're just going to end it a little bit differently today. I'm going to have my wife come up and play her flute. The last song will be 398, Channels Only. Pastor Hank can come and lead the singing if he wants. But we're going to play through once.